Reading today is from Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 10. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them.
And like I said earlier, this morning we begin our series on the Holy Spirit, and we'll do that for the following weeks, trying to understand the person and the walk of the Holy Spirit. And as we've read, we've seen what Luke has written. And our key passage today, our memory verse, if you like, will be verse 8, which is the sort of a summary for the entire book of the Acts of the Apostles. And Acts of the Apostles, as we see when we read, ends sort of abruptly, leaving us to think, was Luke having a thought plan? Because after writing the book of Luke, he now went on to write the Acts of the Apostles as a follow-up to Luke. So was he planning to write another one, a third book? Anyway, people believe that he ended the book of Acts in that way because he wanted, well, it is the Lord had planned that the church will carry on the third phase, the third agenda after the book of Acts. So we'll look at that topic today. I was trying to get it back. You will receive power. Obviously, Jesus addressing his disciples on that occasion, but I still believe that it's relevant for us today, that whatever he taught them and he expected them to receive will also be expected of us to follow through. And so let's read together, if you don't mind, the memory verse. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Like I said, it's sort of a summary of the whole book of Acts. And Luke had written this to sort of follow on with what Jesus began to do and to teach as he did in the book, the gospel. "But you will receive power." You will receive power. So that's what we're going to discuss today, and then we are asking God to help us to receive power personally in our lives. And obviously written to Theophilus, because you see from Luke chapter 1, from 1 to 4, he goes on saying, "Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the world." With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, and was written to Theophilus, so that you may know the certain things of that you have been taught. So in Acts 1:1, he began by saying, "My former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all Jesus began to do and to teach." So linking his gospel accounts to the Acts of the Apostles writing together. And it's interesting. And each time I read this, Jesus began to do and to teach. He wasn't like, do what I say and not what I do. He began to do and to teach. So what he said, he did. What he said, he practiced. He didn't ask people to do something that he wasn't prepared to practice himself. So what Jesus began to do and to teach. So Luke did this to write it down. I'm not going into that, but scholars have told us that Luke based much of his writing from the Gospel of Mark. I don't know. So Matthew, Mark, and Luke. In fact, that Matthew and Luke based most of their writings from the book of Mark, because Mark was obviously the first one that was written. So that's why he said he had investigated the accounts. He has, you know, looked at things, and he based both eyewitness accounts from people and, of course, from the documents available to him, which scholars believe was largely the book of Mark. And then he wrote this to Theophilus and indeed to all of us. I don't know if you've read about Smith Wigglesworth. I mentioned him last Friday. He was a British evangelist born in the year 1859. He was originally a Methodist, but later on joined the Plymouth Brethren and went on to become a worldwide evangelist. He was used of the Lord mightily. There is this book called God's Generals, written by Robert Leadon. I don't know if anyone has read, but you can look it up afterwards. Powerful, powerful testimonies and you know, things that people did, people who have gone ahead of us did. So he was born in Bradford, somewhere near Bradford, where he started. In fact, it was said that he was an apostle of faith. On one occasion, his wife died, and he decided to pray to bring her back. And he prayed, and the wife came back to life and said, "Why were you disturbing me? I was just enjoying myself. It was a very beautiful place." He said to her, "Well, you didn't take permission from me before you went, and so you have to come back." And well, afterwards, you know, she died afterwards. But he used to kick people on their tummy or slap people. He was very not violent. That was the way he thought. You know, he's like, "Well, the devil has caused this, so I got to kick that devil out of people." And that was what he did. I don't recommend such people. But you know, there are people in some places today that do that. I used to joke with my children. I said, "Well, there's a group in where I was born that when they perform deliverance on people, they'll kind of beat the hell out of you." Even till now. Because they believe that's the best way to kick the devil. Anyway, I don't want to go much into that, but he said the Acts of the Apostles was written because the apostles acted. It looks simple, but powerful. The Acts of the Apostles was written because the apostles acted. They acted what Jesus taught them, what they saw Jesus doing. And they didn't do that on their own, but they did it because they had received what Jesus promised them, the power of the Holy Spirit. So He began by saying, but you will receive power. Why but? Before now, they were asking him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? They were under Roman rule. And so the thoughts that Jesus has come to do a physical kingdom and restore their dignity, their independence, and kind of free them from the colonial masters. And they were also thinking that, well, when that happens, maybe I will be the prime minister, John will be the commissioner, and this person will be the foreign secretary, and this one will be the home secretary. They were thinking so natural, so physical. They were thinking about a physical kingdom. But Jesus said to them, no, it's not in your power to determine the time the Father has set for his kingdom. But listen to this, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. The power you will receive is not a political power. The power you receive is not power to govern people naturally, but it's power to do something, and that's what I've come for you to do. Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? That's not what I'm about, Jesus said, but you are going to receive something beyond the natural. You're going to receive something that will really help you and set you apart. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. This power I'm talking about, you will receive it only when the Holy Spirit comes on you. People tend to reverse the order today. And they tend to sort of do things in their own power without receiving the power of the Holy Spirit. And I tell us, don't reverse the order. Don't try to witness in your own power. Don't try to witness in your own ability or authority. It's not about how many degrees that we have. It's not about how many countries we've traveled to. It's not about, you know, how much we have in our bank accounts. It's not about that. It's about the power of the Holy Spirit. The difference today between a child of God and another child of God is the power of the Holy Spirit. The difference today between a church and another church is the power of the Holy Spirit. I was involved in an organization some time ago, and we were mourning and complaining about the fact that the church is dying and things. But I remember sharing with the leadership, perhaps we should ask ourselves, why are we in decline? I mean, that would be the first thing for us to do. Why are we in decline? Because we are in a place that the church next door is doing well, right? And some other people are. It's not as if everywhere is in decline. But so we should ask ourselves, why are things not moving the way we want them? Why are we traveling the opposite direction? And I think the power of the Holy Spirit makes the difference. Sometimes organizations tend to run on their own strengths or their own agenda. It's good to make plans, right? It's good to make 5 years plan. I like to make plans, you know that. It's good to make 10 years plan, have our vision. But I tell us, if we do that on our own strengths because we are intelligent, because, you know, without the power of the Holy Spirit, we will not going to succeed. We are not going to succeed. So don't reverse the order. You will receive power only when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Not when you join the church. Not when you do baptism. Not when your name is in the roll. Not when you become a leader. Not even when you become a pastor. That's when not when you receive power. You receive spiritual power only when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And power to carry on to do things for the Lord. And like I mentioned the other day, I believe that there is a difference between authority and power. But the Lord has promised us that we will receive power. The power that is talked about in Acts chapter 1, verse 8 has come from the Greek word dynamis, or dynamis, from where you have your dynamo and dynamite. It's a sort of power that is able to reproduce itself. That's the sort of power that the Lord has given us. It's different from the power that we receive in salvation. In John 1:12, you remember, to them that received him, to them he gave what?
Power
to become sons of God. The power there is different from the power in Acts 1:8, because the power there talks about authority. So you receive Christ, he gives you the authority. And that authority is absolute. It is based on the fact that you are now a legitimate child of God. Your positions have changed. You now have the right to go on ahead to receive dynamo, dynamite, dynamo, powerful power, which is quite relative to your receiving the Holy Spirit. You shall receive this sort of power only when you receive the Holy Spirit, Jesus said to the disciples. And you remember that promise was fulfilled in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. So what I'm saying now is not what Jesus said. It's sort of hanging on a level of promise. It's already been received, but it's still waiting for anyone that will receive. I don't know if you know, you've read about Reinhard Bonnke, that the German evangelist that was used so mightily in Africa. I was involved in their crusades and conferences in Nigeria. But he said something that I remember now. He said one day he was preaching and he was saying, Jesus will wash you clean, the blood of Jesus will wash you clean. And someone came to him saying, why are you always saying this? So if you claim that the blood of Jesus is able to wash us clean, so why are people not saved? God could as well, with a wave of hands, make everyone become his child. And so he asked him, well, you know, some people sell detergent, right? And still, there are dirty linens, dirty clothes, dirty people, actually. You don't become clean on the sight of detergent, but you have to use and apply the detergent on your stuff or soap on yourself for you to become clean. So that's the same with the power of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, it's been released. The power is there. It's waiting for us to receive. And power has got several translations. The dynamo, the dynamic has got several translations in the Bible. Sometimes it's translated as strength, sometimes as courage, sometimes as boldness, sometimes as mighty force, ability, violence even. Of course, not physical violence, but spiritual violence. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And I close with this. Why do you receive the power? Not to show off, not to tick a box, like I said last Sunday, not to kind of brag around, I am one of them right now, but the reason why we receive the power is only to be Jesus's witnesses. And who is a witness? A witness is one who points people to Christ with the boldness and assurance of what they have witnessed, what they have seen, what they have partaken of, what they have shared on themselves. And then they are confident that I have used this. All right? It's just like a salesman who go on selling things that they have used and they can recommend, actually. I've used this and I know it's authentic. Then Jesus came to them in Matthew 28:18 and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and do what? Say with me, make disciples of all nations. So that's the witness that he has called us. This is the only reason why he has given us the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe in speaking in tongues, but the reason why he gave us the power of the Holy Spirit is not just to go on the streets speaking in tongues. It's not just go prophesying. I believe in prophecy. It's not just going working miracles. I believe that the days of miracles are not over. I believe that. But the reason why we are given the power of the Holy Spirit is not to do all those things, but to make disciples of Christ. All these other things will follow, he says. All right? Seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Some young Christians reverse the order today. They seek the things of the world rather than seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. But when you seek the kingdom and his righteousness, surely all these things shall follow you. Disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And doing what again? Teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you as my witnesses. There are some things when Luke wrote, he said, what Jesus began to do and to teach. A good leader will always teach and train other people. Without a successor, no success is actually successful. If you don't have people to take over after you, then that's the main thing you should do as a leader. So he commanded them, but he promised, surely I am with you. How many times? Always. I am with you when you don't feel like it. I am with you when you are feeling anxious. I am with you when you are sick. I am with you. He's not only with us when things are going well. He's not only with us when we are up in the mountain. He's also with us when we are down in the valley. I am with you always to the very end of the age. A powerful promise he made us, but he wants us to use the power to become his witnesses. Where are we going to be witnesses? Beginning from Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Beginning from Southcote and Reading, going on to other parts of Berkshire, other parts of Reading, and to Samaria. The Samaritans were a mixed race. And that's why somewhere in Luke, I can't remember exactly, when Jesus needed to go to Jerusalem, he needed to pass through Samaria. He could have avoided, like the Jews did in those days, to avoid the Samaritans. But he decided to go through Stratton, and he met a woman who was out there alone trying to fetch water in the afternoon, which is unusual, unheard of, because they go only either in the morning or in the evening. For someone to go in the afternoon, they must have been avoiding people. They must have had something. People have been sort of saying about her, and so she was trying to avoid others. But here comes a Jewish man. To make the worst matter worse, not even a Jewish lady, a Jewish man. Because they considered Samaritans as people who are not pure Jews. They are mixed race. They are not there. But Jesus said, I shock you. You're not only going to preach to Judea and to Jerusalem, you're gonna go to those people you don't like. You must have to pass through them before you go to the ends of the earth. All right? Yeah. There are people in Britain today that we might consider as Samaritans. So they can't be saved. They can't give their life to Christ. They have sort of extremist people in their religion. They are not going to give their lives to Christ. But our call is also to them. not only to Southcote, not only to Reading, to United Kingdom, but those people who consider as outcasts, those people who consider as different ethnicity. The Lord has called us to receive the power and to also reach them. Those who don't speak the same language as we do, those who don't put on the same clothing as we do, those who don't agree with what we agree with, we are called to reach them. They are the Samaritans we have today in our country. There are people who think differently. There are people who carry guns, who carry knives. There are people who are on the streets cursing and doing everything. Am I only going to witness to those who are nice, who are well-behaved? No, I also am called to witness to those who don't have any manner of approach, those who don't behave very well, those who go around cursing. I am also called to preach to them. And also, I'm not just going to think about my immediate surroundings, but to the end of the earth. We may not all give or go, but at least we can pray. We thank God for people like Tom, yes, and Edna, of course, and people, mighty people, who have done powerful things, going to the ends of the earth. But you know what? If we can't go, we can pray. We can also give. There are organizations today we can give, and we will all be involved in the Great Commission. And that's why we've been called to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. The power you will receive is not to make you feel good. The power you receive is not just to say you are a full member of Sarco Family Church. The power you receive is to be a witness for Christ. And of course, we can be witnesses in different ways. We might not all be on the streets, but we can be witnesses in different ways. Of course, you know that. You can invite me over, assuming I'm not saved, and have a meal with me without even making any preaching, and I will go away thinking about your kindness, and that will lead me to Christ. It's possible. You might, help someone on the streets or the way. You might. There are different ways of being witnesses for Christ today. I'm not going to school us on that, but I know we know already. But we will not do it on our own power. Let's pray for ourselves. Pray for the church. Pray that the Lord will help us to receive. I'll give us some few seconds to pray for yourself, and I'll pull this together. Let's ask the Lord to help us to move in the power of His Holy Spirit. Without me, you can do nothing, He says. You will receive power, dynamic power, boldness, courage, ability, strength. You will receive from the Lord only when the Holy Spirit has empowered you. And it doesn't matter how old we are. It doesn't matter if we still feel strong enough physically. We can receive this power. And remember, John chapter 1 verse 12 talks about the authority to become a son and a daughter of Christ. We cannot receive the power of the Holy Spirit if we have not, first of all, made a personal commitment with Jesus Christ as our Lord and personal Savior. It will be like pouring water on top of a stone. But when we receive authority, when we are legitimately right to receive, that's when the power comes. We pray, O Lord, for ourselves, that you will help us, Lord, as we make a commitment for you as our Lord and personal Savior. We receive you in our hearts today. And Lord, I am praying, perhaps someone will listen to this sermon on our website or stumble into this, but they have not made their life, committed their lives to you. I pray, Lord, as they listen to this sermon, whenever they do so, that they will make a commitment. They will just stop right there and make a commitment for Jesus Christ and to receive him as Lord and Savior. And just not to stop there, but to go on ahead to receive the power, empowerment of the Holy Spirit that will enable us to be effective witnesses for you, Lord. And we pray for ourselves here right now. Help us, Lord, as we move on ahead to the next phase of your plan for us as a church. Lord, we cannot run empty. We cannot run our own agenda. We cannot run our own strength. We will only succeed when we run on the power of the Holy Spirit. Help us, Lord, to remain open, to remain receptive enough to receive the empowerment of your Holy Spirit. Lord, I know that several of us, we might not be able to run on the same pace, but we can do something. Some can run, some can walk, some can even crawl. But Lord, my prayer is that let us get moving. Whether we run or crawl or walk, let's get moving. Movement is what I want, Lord. Lord, help us to make a move with your Holy Spirit. Help us, Lord, as a people of faith. We cannot do this without you. We thank you for those who have gone ahead of us, the leaders, the pastors, the leadership support people before now who have gone ahead of us. They've sort of laid a groundwork for us, a sort of foundation. May you bless them wherever they are and bless the works of their hands. And Lord, help us that this touch of the gospel in Southcote will not go off in our time, but will continue to shine and shine to young people, shine to Samaritans who are around us, shine to those who don't even think like us, so that sons and daughters will be brought to the kingdom of God, to the glory of your holy name. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for we trust you, we believe you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.